Forever you are faithful, forever you are strong, forever you are with us, forever and ever and ever. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever you are faithful, forever you are strong, forever you are with us, forever and ever and ever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arms, his love endures forever. By your grace we will carry on, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever you are faithful, forever you are strong, forever you are with us, forever and ever and ever. Faithful, forever you are strong, forever you are with us, forever and ever and ever.
Things we have to be grateful to God for, that he is forever faithful, loving, true, strong. He is God. Praise him for who he is. Well, I hope everybody had a great and enjoyable Resurrection Sunday and a great week. I love this time of year. Blooms, fragrances, mowing season, gardens starting to get planted, all that good stuff. I hate that it's so short, but it is. Just the way it goes. But I want to continue a series that we talked about before Resurrection Sunday on the days of Noah, but I also want to include other signs Jesus shows us in Matthew 24, because there are so many events that we're starting to see now. But before we do, let's go before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for your blessings. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are faithful, that you are true, that you are love, that your promises are always yes and amen. Your word declares that you will never leave us or forsake us. We stand on your word. You are the one who keeps your promises. You are the deliverer. You are our healer. You are our savior, our father, our friend. And we love you for it. We praise you for it. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who's within us, who empowers us, who guides us, who strengthens us. We thank you for your written word that you've blessed us with. Lord, I ask that as we open up your word this morning, help us not only to understand it, but to be doers of it, not only hearers only. And I ask that your Holy Spirit will anoint me and present your word so that you will be honored, that you will be glorified, and that your people will be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read our foundational passage again from Matthew 24, 37 through 39. Jesus says this to the disciples. As the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and did not know until the flood came, took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. We talked about the world before the flood, the world of Noah's day, how it was plagued with corruption and immorality. So much ungodliness going on. We saw God's justice and judgment, but we also saw His mercy in preserving Noah. Noah was a man who walked with God by faith in such a dark world. Despite the obstacles, despite, I'm sure, the ridicule that he had to face, persecution he may have had to endure, we saw how God preserved him and his family in a remnant of animals on an ark from coming judgment to repopulate the earth, but also to preserve the bloodline from whom would come Jesus, the Messiah. And let me make this clear. God revealed to Noah that this global judgment would be his wrath poured out on an unrepentant world. God does bring about judgments. The global tribulation comes, a prime example. But we've got to be careful of not jumping to conclusions declaring that every disaster is a judgment of God. Some things occur because we do live in a fallen world. We have to suffer from sin and all of its ill effects. But our first reaction when something disastrous or something catastrophic occurs should be to help and pray for those who've been affected, who have lost loved ones because of it. But anyway, now we get into Jesus comparing the days of Noah to the state of the world when he returns. You know, he was discussing with his disciples during the last week of his earthly ministry, signs of the end. One day when him and his disciples were departing the temple, they remarked how in awe they were of the buildings. That's when Jesus started talking about how this magnificent temple will soon be destroyed. And speaking of future events that will happen, he launched into signs of the end, signs leading to his return to earth. And some translations talk about these signs resembling birth pains. Labor pains, at least from what I've heard, start out sporadically, but then they increase in intensity and frequency. That's an apt description of the signs leading up to Jesus' return. And the first sign Jesus talked about was deception. It is a tactic that Satan has used from the beginning, but it will be on the rise in the latter days. There will be people he will use who claim to be anointed of God, cloaked with just enough elements of truth to persuade people that they are when they really aren't. For Satan is disguised as an angel of light, right? And one in particular I'm thinking about during the tribulation period who will deceive so many is the Antichrist. And there are passages in the Old and the New Testament who describe him. And in the book of Daniel, in the book of Thessalonians, in the book of Revelation. Then he talks about wars and rumors of wars. Intense international conflicts. Well, that could be World War I and II. Those wars can aptly describe that. And you know, that could have been part of it. Part of the beginnings of these signs. But you look at what's going on now in Eastern Europe with Russia and Ukraine, in the Middle East with Israel and all their enemies, on and on. And as hard as it is to imagine, they're going to increase. These international conflicts, also lawlessness in cities and things like that that have been going on, I believe they're going to increase, probably even more so after the rapture of the church. And of course, the mother of all conflicts will be Armageddon right before Jesus comes and set his foot on the Mount of Olives, the very mountain that he's discussing these signs of the end with his disciples. Isn't that amazing? You look at all these events that have occurred and that will occur. Jesus talks about signs in the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that. Well, look at the lunar eclipse that occurred at the end of last month. Then they got that solar eclipse that's going to come about, I think, Monday. Which we won't get to see where I live because it's going to be cloudy. Of course, it would be a miracle if I were to see it anyway. Then you look at the earthquakes, the natural disasters. an earthquake that occurred in New Jersey. 4.8. First like that that's occurred in over 100 years. It was felt in New York and all the way to Boston's what I heard. And the aftershocks with that. Then you had that big earthquake Wednesday in Taiwan, a 7.2 magnitude. By the way, we need to pray for those who have been affected by that one and who lost loved ones, because there were people who died in that one. A lot of damage occurred in that one, too. So much going on, though. Now, I'm not saying the rapture will occur today or tomorrow because of all this. It might. He could come anytime. But we do need to start paying attention. They will increase in the latter days. Earthquakes in various places, diverse places. So much going on. Jesus also talks about persecution of believers will increase in the last days. Hatred. People turning from God. And, you know, I have heard it said, and I don't know for sure whether in America and the rest of the world, there will be revival or a great awakening before the rapture. It'd be good if it were, but I don't know that for sure. What I do know, though, is that the gospel during the tribulation period will continue to be preached. The Holy Spirit will still be here to anoint those to preach God's word, to convict those of sin. There will be people who will turn from sin, who will turn to God, who will be saved during the tribulation period. But the rapture, the Antichrist, the tribulation, even the millennial reign, things like that, God willing, I'll discuss in more detail in another episode or episodes eventually. But now let's go back to Jesus comparing the days of Noah to the state of the world before he returns. You might say that Noah lived in the end times of his day and generation. Evil increased in the days of Noah, just like it will increase before Jesus returns. The judgment was global, just like it will be global before he returns. Now, the difference is, it won't be a single judgment. It'll be a series of judgments before Jesus returns. Now, in Noah's day, of course, there wasn't a Bible. There wasn't a written word of God like we have now. But there were prophetic messages. There were people like Noah preaching to the people, warning them of the coming judgment. Just like in God's word, we have prophecies warning of judgment to come now. And you know, God makes himself known in so many ways, don't he? Through creation. Through, I think, also the inner sense within each and every one of us of knowing what's right and wrong. That's another way I think God reveals himself. Through Jesus. Through his written word. So, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, people have no excuse. But there are so many, just like in Noah's day, who just don't believe. But there are also more who do believe, just not in the one true God. Don't assume that just because a person isn't a Christian or don't believe in the one true God, which that would also include Jews, that they don't have a spiritual side. They seek, but unfortunately the answers they find more often than not are among the forces of darkness. You see, that's why so many people get into zodiac signs and psychics and all that stuff. And as scary as it is that a lot of this is going on now, it's going to increase. And I'm sure it was going on before the flood. You look at what's going on even in America now. Not only a lack of interest in the God of the Bible, but and you're seeing an increase of it. Hatred for Christians that I've never seen before. Look at how Europe has drifted from God and how we're starting to. Look at the hatred and persecution of Christians in places like China and Africa and on and on. And there are people who reject God, his ways, his messengers. And they call those of us who stand for him, who stand on his word, who declare his word, to say the least, narrow-minded bigots. And don't think that wasn't going on in Noah's day. You think people were tolerant of Noah and his beliefs and his faith in God during those days? You have so many people today who claim to be tolerant of so many things except God and His Word and those of us who follow Him. Now, we're not exactly blameless sometimes either in how we present God's Word. Sometimes if we're not careful, if we're not led by the Holy Spirit, we can come across as hateful, as judgmental, as self-righteous. But a lot of times it don't matter. I mean, we can be fully led by the Holy Spirit in every way of how we present the truths of God's Word to a lost and dying world, and there are still some people who are going to ridicule us, who are going to hate us, who are going to persecute us. Jesus warned us of this. He says that don't be surprised if the world hates you, it hated me also. You know, we talked about the faith that Noah had in such a dark world and how the obstacles he had to face, the ridicule and probably the persecution he had to endure. So do we, to a point. But I'm afraid we haven't seen anything yet. We live in such a me-oriented society. Jesus said in the last days it'll be like the days of Noah. People will be busy with their own daily routine, self-absorbed, consumed with fame and fortune and whatever it takes to make me successful. Whatever makes me feel good. Whatever gives me pleasure. Whatever makes me happy. Don't you tell me how to live. Don't preach a downer on sin and judgment and repentance to me. If I want to hear a message, I want to hear one that tells me how special I am and how I can prosper. That's the world we live in, and unfortunately, it's infiltrated the church too. They don't want to read or study Revelation. It's too gloom and doom. They're not interested in the fact that God is just as well as He is love. They like to picture God as some benign old grandfather in the sky who doesn't judge. But also, like in the days of Noah, people who reject God, their standards of morality become less and less. And it's becoming that way in our society too. We're becoming more and more a sewer of immorality, of sexual perversion, just like in the days of Noah. People who have no regard for God or His ways, have no limitations, or whatever boundaries they have, they set for themselves. But you know, this is what happens in a society that's pushed God out of every institution and every aspect of life. You can read in God's Word on the downward spiral into sin and immorality between the times of Cain and Abel to the days of Noah. And it's no different with us. The further and further we have drifted from God, the more into sin and immorality and perversion of all sorts we have slipped. I mean, things that are acceptable and are becoming part of the norm now, we wouldn't have dreamed just 5 or 10 years ago. But look, not only is immorality part of the norm now, just like it was in the days before the flood? So is violence. People who commit acts of violence have their time of fame, thanks to social media and news networks. Now, I'm not saying it shouldn't be reported on, but when others see that, they copycat it, because they want to have that same moment of fame just like that other person had. We've reached a point in our society now to where we're not shocked by crime rates. We're not shocked by mass shootings or things like that. And a lot of times we find violence entertaining. I know a lot of times we don't mean to, but we're enthralled by things like true crime podcasts, things like that. And we think of how horrible the violence must have been in Noah's day and how cruel it was for people to be entertained, like in the Roman Colosseums when others were being fed to lions. But our society is becoming more and more barbaric, even though we may not want to admit it. And you can read in the book of Revelation the point that it's going to get to. Look of how hard-hearted people become in responding to God's wrath. Look at how the countless multitudes of those who follow God during the tribulation will be persecuted and killed. That's just a glimpse of how people have drifted so far from God that they have lost their grip not only on truth, but on sanity and on their humanity. And unfortunately, even as the church and as a society, we want to sit there and say, well, the problem is social media. The problem's violent video games. Problem's guns. The problem's the system. Problem's liberals. The problem is sin. And too often, as the body of Christ, we should know better, but we're not seeing the forces of darkness behind all the increase of evil that's going on in the world, because Satan knows his time is short. And he's going to increase his tactics. He's going to use whatever weapons he can. That's why God tells us to put on his armor to fight the enemy. We can't fight him. We can't resist him on our own, in our own strength and ability and intellect or whatever. Put on God's armor, every piece of his armor, especially in these last days that we're living. I like what one of the sources said in preparing for this. We're on a collision course with God's judgment and the return of Christ. But our world is so much like that of the days of Noah, populated by people who act like there were no consequences to what they do or how they live. There's no judgment coming. And hey, if the world ends, let's party it up till it's over. It's a self, not God-oriented society we live in, just like the days before the flood. And they're going to be caught off guard when the judgment does come. Whew, that was an uplifting word, isn't it? But there is encouragement. There is hope, because God never leaves us without hope. He never leaves us without his light. Are we the Noahs of our day, of our generation? Now, not all of us are called to quote-unquote preach, but we are all called to shine God's light in a dark world. And you know, just like God preserved Noah and his family and the animals on an ark, Jesus is our ark, rescuing us from the coming judgment, from the coming wrath. And I realize this isn't a popular message, but Jesus is the only way, the only truth that will set us free. Judgment will come. It's prophesied. It'll come to pass. But if we want to escape it, let's climb aboard the ark and say yes to Jesus. Because he loves us. He cares for us. He looks out for us. He protects those who place their faith in him. And he'll never disappoint the trusting heart. And you know, just like when Noah and all those on the ark departed finally after being on there for a year, they stepped out to a new world, a new beginning. We're going to experience a new world. We're going to experience a new beginning. We're going to experience new heavens and a new earth, but free from sin and all its ill effects that have polluted this world. Glory to God for that. Well, I enjoyed our time together today, and I look forward to whatever God lays upon my heart to share with you for the next episode. Pray you have a blessed week to come, and I would appreciate it if you would subscribe to this podcast, for those of you who haven't.